I was supposed to. Home is emptiness, and the emptiness is home. Last night, we came to the point to clarify, especially emptiness is form, which is rather difficult to make it clear. But actually, form is, so to say, a big mind. Emptiness is big mind. And big mind as the sky, which contains, which doesn't air or sky, empty sky. But empty sky, we say, but everything grows when plants and everything grow into the sky. The sky doesn't care, you know. And the sky is always ready to accept things in it. But our mind is not, should be like the sky, you know. Our big mind, we should accept things as it is, and we should not discriminate things. As the sky doesn't discriminate things in which in which many things exist. Various being is quite free in the big sky. But our mind is not so. I like this. I don't like this. This is beautiful, but this is not so beautiful. I like him, but I don't like him. I like this part of him, but the other part is not so good. In this way, our small mind always discriminates things and sometimes reject things. That is a small mind. So small in the realm of the small mind, there are many objects, there are many beings, and that beings exist as if they have self nature, good nature or bad nature. A beautiful nature or ugly, mean nature. But Mahayana, in this way, even though Theravadan teaching accept the teaching of selflessness, their way is more like a small mind way, small-minded way. because they acknowledge things, various beings, which is not empty. Dhamma, when we say Dhamma, you know, it includes our sense organs and mind. So we have five sense organs and mind. That is six. And sense object, object of thinking, and objects of our sense organs. And the world, which sense organ and sense objects create, get together and create some world, world of sight, world of sound, world of taste, world of feeling. In this way, each sense organ has a world, their own world. In this way, in Theravada, my canon acknowledge things, some substantial things. They count 75 dhammas, but that is actually not dhamma we say, but that is actually the beings. More psychologically analyzed elements of being. So this is it doesn't, instead of self, Buddha's teaching is teaching of selflessness. So actually, instead of saying self, they say five senses, or five elements, or six elements, or six sense objects, or six words of each, for each sense organs. So even though they do not say a self, actually they acknowledge self, which is as permanent as things, dhammas. The Hinayana teaching is, in one word, the teaching of existence of dhamma, non-existence of self. That is Hinayana canon. But actually, when they acknowledge objective world of objective being, it is same thing to acknowledge self, which is observing objects. Do you understand this point? That, to acknowledge lamp means to acknowledge my mind, which is observing, lamp. Moreover, when you think I am seeing, observing a lamp. You know, as I said before, my mind, my eyes, or my mind, or self of mine, is projected, and you are reflecting your past experience. You say, I'm observing, but actually, I observed a lamp, and you are thinking about I, which is, who is observing lamp. So, it is same thing to acknowledge self. When they say, especially when they say, lamp is existence, lamp exists like this, means I exist and I am observing a lamp. So if they say, you know, teaching of selflessness, they never say self, but actually what they mean is when they say, here is lamp, it means that they acknowledged self, which is existent, and which is permanent. This is their nature of canon, or weak point of canon, or immaturity of understanding. When we understand things in that way, it means that in our mind we have various objects. And it means that we are as soon as you have some substantial idea of many things, you start to discriminate. And you start to have some feeling of good or bad. So in that way, we cannot actually obtain a big mind, which is empty, which is called emptiness. No big mind actually exists. As long as they understand things in that way, objective world in that way, I mean substantial way, and attached to something, especially. That is the nature of, the teaching, five skandhas. Are not empty. Five skandhas are existent. Five sense dots is existence. Or 18 dots is existent. So, Prajnaparamita Sutra deny this thought. In Prajna, according to Mahayana, everything empty. Not only self, but also everything is empty. There's nothing which is not empty. It means that in big mind we should include everything as our own children, as our own family. In our family, you know, they are all part of our parents, and parents treat them as they treat their own hands and feet. actually, they are children are part of parents. So in that sense, when they treat love children, they have no idea of loving children. But actually, they are loving. They have no idea of parents, you know. But actually, that is parents. When they have no idea of children, they are actually, really parents. You know, if parents have some idea of parents, they are not parents. Now, parents, you know, for children, you know, if they think, you know, I am good boy, good children of my father or mother, he is not yet so good, you know. When he thinks I am very bad boy, I am not his, I don't boss as a children of my parents, then he may be a good children. So when parents has no idea of parents, when children has no idea of children, they are, you know, good parents and good children. The same thing is true with Dhamma. With our everyday life. When you think I am practicing Zazen, you know, you are not actually practicing Zazen. Maybe very painful Zazen, or maybe very sleepy Zazen. Oh, it's terrible. When you know, want to know what time it is. 10 more minutes. 5 more minutes. That is not Zazen, you know. When you don't know what you are doing, that is true Zazen. The big mind is same thing, you know. When there is no idea of anything, that is big mind. That is emptiness itself. Now, form is emptiness, it's all right. Form, forget all about form and color. But form was not observed as some certain form. That is emptiness. Then emptiness is form, it's maybe next problem. How we understand the emptiness, it's a form. Maybe I already explained it, you know, right now. Emptiness, when from emptiness, you know, when everything is state of emptiness, everything, you know, start to appears in its true sense. Do you understand? You know, when the parents forget himself, he is true parent. So, when emptiness take place, the form appears in its true sense. That is, emptiness is form. Emptiness is form. If I explain it by our actual experience, if I explain it more maybe psychologically or logically, emptiness, the word emptiness is directed to our mind. It looks like against Theravadan canon, Prajnaparamita Sutra put emphasis on no eyes, no ears, no nose, no mouth, no body or no mind, like this. They put emphasis on emptiness of things, but actually Mahayana teaching is directed, it actually denies the teaching of put more strength on emptiness of self. To realize or to experience how to experience emptiness of self is to practice Zazen. And in actual everyday life to experience oneness of objective and subjective world. You know, when you attain enlightenment, it is like this, you know. Figuratively speaking, you know, it is like our Zazen is like a chicken in itself. When we are ready to come out, you know, the mother, not mother chicken, hen, or what do you call it? Hen will pick it and help the chicken comes out from the shell. That is, you know, the enlightenment experience. So, in your Zazen, if your Zazen is, if you your practice is full practice, you know. It means that you are ready to, you know, break the cell and jump out as a small jack. So, you know, at that time, there is no self, you know. It looks like he is in a cell, but he is ready to break the cell. And at that time, you know, mother hen will peck him. That is oneness of your practice and enlightenment. At that time, there is no hen or no check. They are one. He is one with everything. So, in emptiness, everything exists. Obtain same word. If 10 people are practicing zazen, this word is each one of 10 students. So actually, the word of emptiness is one. But it is one, but at the same time, that world of emptiness could be thousands of people's world, past and present and future. That is, emptiness is form. Emptiness is one big world which belongs to everyone. When you forget yourself, you know, you own whole world as a small chicken. He is not anymore a small chicken. No, chicken, check. I don't know how you say. Each one of them, if they are 10, you know, each one of the 10 check has obtained the same word. But, you know, they are enjoying their own world. But the world they enjoy is one big world. That is what we mean, emptiness is form. Does it make some sense? So, you see, when your zazen is very good, you know, if a bird come and, you know, sing, the world of bird appears. Endless world. Now, in in autumn. We say in early autumn, if one sick leaves, what do you say? Not so strong leaves. In September, maybe. Right now, almost all the leaves are coming down, but in September or end of August, when all the leaves are thick green, one or in September or end of August, when all the leaves are thick green, one or two leaves may fall. We say, to see one thick falling leaves, seeing one thick falling leaves, we know autumn is all over. When thick small leaves are our big world, autumn is all over. When a bird sing, one bird sing in the mountain, we know that how the calmness of the mountain all the more. Calmness of, it is not matter of sound, If the bird sings, it should be noisy. But because of the one bird, we feel the complete calmness of the whole mountain. When the one bird enjoy whole world, that is complete calmness, that is real calmness, that is real emptiness. And that is real form of form. When you think, this is bad, I am here. Or this is sick, just a sick falling leaf. That is not real falling leaves. That is the filter of your thinking mind. Each year, at this time of the year, many leaves comes down, fall down. Oh, it is troublesome to sleep. If you feel in that way, that is more Hinayana way. You attach to the idea of falling leaves because that falling leaves are filter of your experience. Not fresh, vivid experience. That is, emptiness is form. By form, when form appears from emptiness, there is true form. The form we know or we acknowledge as a result of thinking or a filter of experience, that is not a true experience, or that is not true form. So, first of all, we deny the filter of experience, subject or object, objective world or subjective world. First of all, we deny this kind of idea. And we come back to the more original, vivid experience. And there we experience the emptiness and form too. At that time, we cannot say, you know, form or emptiness. Everything is both form and emptiness. So that is why we say emptiness is form. Okay. Emptiness is form. Not it is very logical discernment, but it is not just logical, it is more based on our actual experience of everyday life. Not special teaching, but you know, some teaching which could be approved, which could be experienced by practice and through everyday life. Okay. Did you figure out what I want to say? Hey.
When you say big mind, you seem to say big mind in the same way that the Theravada says dharmas.
No. Theravada. When Theravada says dharmas, it is, you know, based on idea of existence. That is why Nagarjuna, you know, rejected that kind of thinking. Whatever statement, it may be there is four statements. But if there is no more than four statements, but whatever the statement may be, or understanding may be, if it is based on idea of being or idea of non-being, this is pair of opposite. Being or non-being. It is not right understanding. They say, you know, as long as they acknowledge some substantial Dhamma, it means that they don't acknowledge the big world of emptiness. They say, self-nature is empty. But actually, they accept objective, substantial dhammas. When they accept objective, substantial dhamma, they are already accepted the objective, projected self, self out of self. It is not true self, you know. Self, you reflect on in some experience. Actually, I attained enlightenment on this point. My first enlightenment was, did I tell you? I shouldn't say so, because I am so pleased. You know. You know, I have very difficult time, you know. Way-seeking mind. What is way-seeking mind? To practice something without any gaining idea. We should not practice our way for sake of ourselves, for sake of others, nor sake of Buddhism even. For sake of practice, we should practice. That is famous statement. Very impressive statement, isn't it? Very encouraging, you know. You should practice true way, not even for sake of Buddha, not sake of for others. You should practice our way for sake of the So, I wanted to practice our way for sake of practice. I started the practice. You know. That practice was to get up 30 minutes earlier than other students. I was in dormitory at that time. And before they get up to clean, you know, restroom, so that they may not notice me cleaning restroom. But as I was cleaning, you know, many things happened actually. I heard many times some people coming to the restroom. I saw many room lit up, you know. He may come, you know, because he get up, he will come pretty soon. So at first I escaped, you know. I hide myself somewhere, so that they may not notice me. But even so, you know, while I'm hiding myself, the funny feeling, I didn't know what kind of practice I am practicing. Hiding myself from people. So that they may not notice me. You know. Very strange feeling, you know. If I am doing something good, there will not be no need to be afraid of anything. But I was very afraid of people at that time. I couldn't solve this problem, you know. And I didn't know whether I'm practicing, you know, our practice for sake of practice. The conclusion was, anyway, this kind of practice cannot be a real practice. But at the same time, I couldn't give up, you know. I was rather obstinate. So, once I determined to do it, I must do it. But the practice I'm practicing is very awkward. I didn't know what I was doing. At that time, when I was, we have to study, we have to take some unit of psychology. And Professor Ilya once told me, told us that if you, it is impossible to actualize your past experience again. If you think about it, it is already, it is not already actual experience you experience. And it is not psychological state which you had. That word struck me. Oh, I shouldn't think about, you know, my practice anymore. I shouldn't think about my, you know, state of mind or my experience. I shouldn't criticize my experience. Maybe whatever happened, it doesn't matter. So if I do it because I have to do it, that's all, you know. You shouldn't say, I shouldn't say my practice is pure or impure, or for sake of others, or for sake of Buddha, or for sake of practice. That is useless thing to think about. So I gave up to think about my practice. Since then, I didn't mind. Whoever come, I clean. Just a moment, I'm cleaning this, you know, this place. So you should go that way. You should go the other restroom. So when you, you know, when you think about, when you feel as if you are doing something, you know, at the same time, you are accepted. You projected you outside of yourself, and you are criticizing you, which is outside of yourself. It is not through you. Through you is on your side always, which cannot be criticized. It's foolish, you know, to criticize yourself. I had that kind of, you know, enlightenment at that time. Okay. That is what, in exactly what Mahayana Buddhists started to think about. To name various elements, you know, 18 or 75. It is maybe a very foolish thing. Whether that is empty or not empty, it's very far away from our actual life. And when you think in that way, you are involved in that kind of thinking. So far away from the Buddha mind. Some more questions?
And what is small mind used for?
Small mind, in this case, I mean, you know, small mind is mind which attached to many things, you know. Why you attach to things is you have a kind of idea of substantial, you acknowledge substantial element in things. Because you think here is a cup, you know. You attach to it. But actually, the cup is not some independent something which has its own self nature. Because you see the cup, you know, cup exists. If you don't see it, there's no cup. Because cup exists, I exist here, you know. That is teaching of interdependency. Because I exist, cup exists. Because cup exists, I exist. If I don't exist, cup doesn't exist.
If you see the cup, but you don't say to yourself, I see a cup. If you see the cup, but you don't attach any particular thing to it, like saying it's a cup.
No, it means that when I say I see a cup, means this cup is mine, a part of me, a part of big self. Not something which exists outside of me. And that, you know, that me which actually observing a cup is not the self which is projected to somewhere, you know, and I have a cup. This self is picture of true self, a picture of big mind, which includes everything. So we are always talking about projected self, as if that kind of self exists. But it doesn't. You know, if I say whether I'm doing right practice or not, that is projected self, which can be criticized, you know. But even though you criticize it, that is not myself anymore. I am here always. True self is always with me, and moment after moment with me. And we are, I am completely involved in something which I am doing right now. So our life is continuity of this kind of life. I am here, here, here. And on each moment we are including many things. That is true I. But projected self, self which is the object of thinking mind, is not true self. What was your question, by the way?
I asked you what was the use of the small mind?
Small mind, use of?
Yeah, what is it? It's there. But you, of course,
small mind doesn't exist actually. It is the seat of thinking mind. Small mind doesn't. You think as if, you know, it is quite natural for us to think in that way. But actually, if you think more, and if you, you know, want to do something, you know, as Buddha told you, you know, with that kind of mind, you cannot do anything. The projected mind doesn't work at all. It will create always many trouble. Because it is dead one, you know. It is not active one. And moreover, it changes, you know. Like a ghost. A true self, when it changes, it must be some reason. But without any reason, you know. If someone criticizes this projected self, you think as if you did very bad thing. If you think, you know, I did very nasty thing, you know, why you get up so early and clean the restroom, you nasty fellow. You yourself will criticize you, you know. That you is not here, not me, but there. Self, which you think there was 2-3 days ago. It doesn't mean anything. That is why we have to live in each moment. It means that don't criticize your projected self. Self it might be in future. Self it was in past. But that kind of self doesn't exist. at least useless, you know. No end in treating that kind of self.
Is it possible to criticize yourself at the present?
No.
It doesn't seem like it would.
Criticize yourself? Criticize yourself, whether you are fully, you know, fully occupied or involved in what you are doing or not, would be the point. When Dogen says, you shouldn't talk about the teaching which is lofty, or which is not so lofty, you shouldn't say so. But you should know whether your practice is true practice or not.
So if our practice is lazy practice, then we should just let it be lazy, without thinking that it is lazy. So we should